Praise the Lord. God is good, isn't he? God is good. There we go. All right. Praise God. You know, we were talking about reaching the lost for Christ. Now, I know that in St. Mary's, Ohio, there are a lot of fishermen, probably a few rows that are missing this morning, too. But would it... let me put it this way. The last time I went fishing was 26 years ago in Grand Lake St. Mary's. That was the last time I went fishing. Now, would it be accurate, would it be truthful if I called myself a fisherman? Bring that into spiritual terms. If you ain't fishing, you got to ask yourself, am I really a Christian? Jesus called you and me to be fishers of men, fishers of women. If you ain't fishing, are you a Christian? I'm a fisherman in the natural. No, I'm not. I'd be lying. I fished 26 years ago, for crying out loud. Caught like a little teeny fish about that long. I am so grateful to be here this morning and be invited by my friend, Pastor Randy. And I have to say this, and he's not going to reward me for saying this, but he preaches the Word, but he also lives the Word. I can tell you that. And many of you know that. Most of you know that. He not only preaches it, he lives it, he walks it. And he loves all of you deeply, deeply. When we speak privately, I hear his passion for all of you and for this community. I hear it. I feel it. How many of you listen to talk radio from time to time? I do. Now, how many of you realize, this is a dumb question, that things are going pretty far south, pretty downhill, pretty fast in the United States of America? Just guessing that you might feel that way. Now, listening to talk radio, I am more, and I'm going to just be, I'm just going to lay the cards on the table here. Oh, Pentecostals don't play cards. I am more, honestly though, I am more of a conservative in my political affiliations, okay? I'm not going to give a speech this morning. But when I listen to talk radio, much of talk radio, I agree with the hosts that I listen to. Okay? And you know what? If I listen to it for an hour or more, I start to get really... Oh, those boneheads in Washington, they don't know what they're doing. I could straighten out... I'm taking my eyes off where they should be. I'm an American. You're an American. But my citizenship is not here necessarily. It's in heaven. 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years of my life, I'll be an American citizen. Whoop-de-doo. What's that compared to eternity? Keep your eyes focused on the prize. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus, the author, the finisher, the perfecter of your faith. It isn't President Obama. It isn't Pelosi. It isn't Reed. It isn't Biden. It isn't the Republican leadership. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus. Jesus and Jesus alone. Things are rough in this country. And I'm 52 years old. Ooh, it went by fast. You know, some of you and myself, we're children of the 70s. Grew up, we were in high school in the 70s. We thought we were wild back then. Doesn't hold a candle the way things are now. It's insane out there. It's crazy. And I bet you it's even crazy in a smaller community like this one. No morals anymore. They're calling good evil, and they're calling evil good. We're so mixed up. I want you to know today, and we need to let people know, that you can either know Jesus as Savior, or you will know Him as Judge. You'll either know Him as Savior, or you will know Him as Judge. Which do you choose? And we need to make that abundantly clear, perfectly clear for the people out there. even in our own families. How many of you have, don't raise your hands, but I mean, just a little nod. How many of you have unsaved people in your families? Woo, they're a hard nut to crack. Oh, my Lord. Jesus' own family didn't listen to him for the longest time. Why are you any different? Jesus was rejected by oodles and oodles, multitudes of people. Why would you be any different? That's what I tell young pastors, young ministers coming up in the assemblies. You know, if you want pats on the back, you're in the wrong business, brother. You're going to get more kicks in the seat and arrows in the back than pats on the back. Look at the rejection that Jesus suffered. And yet he continued, he persevered for that prize. His eyes was on the prize. Will you know him as Savior or as Judge? The choice is yours. Make no mistake, loved ones, we are living in the last days. I'm firmly convinced these are the last days. And as the church goes, so goes the nation. As the church goes, so goes the world. Judgment begins in the house of God. Amen? It's time for America to return to Calvary. It's time for America to return to the cross. First and foremost, the cross. The Apostle Paul said, I wasn't sent here to baptize. I wasn't sent here to do this or do that. I was sent here to proclaim Christ and Him crucified. It's time to get back to the basics. It's time to get back to loving people. Loving people. It's like I said with talk radio, it's so easy to get mad and upset and outraged by all the craziness in Washington or in the country, in the world. And you can get so crazy and you can get so mad and frustrated that you don't love people anymore. You don't love. The love is replaced with anger. Now, what good is an angry Christian? When Uncle Henry and Auntie M walk around like this, Christians, you need to be more like me. Excuse me? You look like you swallowed a curtain rod. I don't want that. We should be the most joyful people on the planet. Amen? We really should be. That doesn't mean ignore what's going on around us, but love people in spite of the way they act. Loved ones, I want to tell you, you will never debate people into the kingdom. You'll never argue somebody into the kingdom. You will love people into the kingdom. I remember when I was unsaved and living for the devil, raising proverbial hell. I drank, I did drugs, I chased women, I did this and that. And I remember getting out of my car when I was a teenager in downtown Dayton one day. I was in a funky mood anyway. And I got out and I closed the door and put some money in the meter. And all of a sudden, there's this person sticking this brochure in my face. Are you bound for hell? No smile, but telling me it was one of these. And my, you know, living in the flesh, my first instinct was, don't you come near me. You're never going to debate people into the kingdom. You're going to love them into the kingdom. Listen, I ran from Christ for 23 years. My mom prayed faithfully for 23 years for a hell-bound son. And our God answered my mother's prayers, which proves God has a sense of humor. I used to throw mud balls at Pentecostal churches. I was born and raised Catholic. I thought y'all were crazy. I was taught to fear. I wasn't taught from the Bible. I was taught to fear that which I did not understand. I was taught to fear that which I was ignorant of. I just ran from God for that many years. I knew there was a call on my life at the age of 4 to minister, but I thought it was to be a Catholic priest. I knew it. I just knew it inside. My father left Our family, when I was 9, my little sister was 2. I ran from God for the next couple of decades. Went to Wright State University. And then I went to Los Angeles, California to become an actor. To become rich and famous and to just rub everybody's nose in it that said I was bad and this and that. That was my goal in life, to be rich and famous. I had a few bit parts. Three's Company, a show called The Two of Us. Chips, a couple of commercials. But I was so deep into drugs and degradation. My life was empty that there came one point where I came home one night from being at a bar, and I sat down in my apartment and I poured just bottles and bottles of pills on the coffee table in front of me. And I had my Jack Daniels there, my drink of choice at that time. I turned on the television and I'm paying attention to nothing. I wanted to end it. I wanted to end my life. And it was at that moment when tears are just dropping on this glass coffee table, that the phone rings. And I'm thinking, oh man, what now? I pick it up, it's my mom. She said, I felt I needed to call you. You okay? Is everything all right? Oh man, I broke down. We talked. She says, I want you to know, no matter what you've done, no matter what you do, I'm praying for you and I will always love you. I could have had another type of parent. Oh, you're screwing everything up. What's the matter with you? Rah, 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 rah. I knew you'd end up this way. Not my mom. My mom, good Catholic mama, was the closest representation of Jesus Christ I have ever seen on this planet. To this day. She accepts people. She loves people. She doesn't accept the sin, but she loves people unconditionally. And I pray that I'm just a fraction of that type of person. I want to be more like my Heavenly Father and more like my earthly mom. Finally gave my life to Jesus Christ a few years later, watching TBN, watching Pastor E.V. Hill. Gave my life to Jesus and things have never been the same since. I want to tell you something, though, that when you give your life to Jesus wholeheartedly, you change. Man, I couldn't understand it. And by me sharing some of this testimony, I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on my Heavenly Father. I'm bragging on my Savior. Because most of you know, maybe some of you don't, that when you become a born-again believer, the devil is going to try you on for size. Oh, we're going to see if this is for real. And he does. It was at that point I started working for my mother back in Dayton. I had moved from Los Angeles. I lived in New York too, but moved back to Dayton to start over, you know. I know Jesus. He's my Lord and Savior. I mean, I was on fire. Remember when you fell in love for the first time? With your husband, with your wife, and you're on the phone and you're young and you're... and it goes on and on and on, like 2 hours, and they don't talk on phones anymore, they text. But I remember talking on the phone with your loved one, your sweetheart, and you go, it's time to go, it's really late now, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. You remember when you fell in love, when you were around that person and you had goosebumps. Woo! It sounds like Christians, doesn't it? Goosebumps! We measure our relationship with Christ. Oh, I didn't get any goosebumps. Pastor wasn't very anointed this morning. Here's what happened. Just a quick example. I was managing the restaurant there in Dayton, Ohio, Eleanor's Amber Rose. Free plug there. It was Christmas time, 1993 or 94, I'm not sure which. And it was busy. Oh man, it was a Saturday night, it was busy. People were just packing the restaurant. We had a party upstairs, we had the restaurant full downstairs. A waitress comes back into the kitchen where I am. She's got tears in her eyes, she's upset. I said, what's the matter? She's shaking, she's so upset. What is the matter? We've got Christmas music playing. I mean, a joyful atmosphere. She says, it's this woman out here. This woman at the counter. It's okay, I'll handle it. I found out the woman had ordered some Lithuanian sausage for Christmas. Okay, like 5 pounds of Lithuanian sausage. We called it Christmas sausage. Anyway, I go out there, yes, ma'am, may I help you? And right across the counter, the cold case where we kept the meats, where's my sausage? She just starts yelling at me. And we're, and it's, you know, they're singing Oh Holy Night over this. And I tried to calm things down, get her to explain. What's the deal? She's yelling at me. She ordered 5 pounds of Christmas sausage. Where's my Lithuanian sausage? I want it now! I'm a new Christian, and I'm smiling. But the more that she talks and yells and harangues, the more tense I'm becoming in the flesh. You know, the spirit wars against the flesh. Amen?
Yep.
Yeah. And then she does this. In the old days, I would fight you if you did this. She stuck her hand across the counter and stuck it in my nose. And she starts cursing at me. I would fight in the old days. I would climb over that case to get to you. Here's what happened. The madder I get, my hand's doing this. Here's the important thing. Something in here was still, there's peace like a river, peace like a river, peace like a river in my soul. I've never felt this way before. My flesh wants to act one way. My spirit man is saying, love her. What? I love this. Just a minute, ma'am. I walk back to the kitchen, get my wits about me, talk to the Lord a little bit. And I walk back out. That's okay. So I'm looking for her sausage and her name on the package, and I open up a drawer in the very bottom of this thing, and it's buried. Her sausage is buried under other meat products. Thank you, Jesus. Because we were out of sausage at that point. And I wanted to just hit her with it. Instead, I handed it to her, and she grasps it like that. I don't know why. I put my hand on top of her hand on top, and I said, ma'am, I hope you have a really great, merry and blessed Christmas. God bless you. And I turned away to walk back to the kitchen, and I'm going, what did I just say? Really? And I walked back to the kitchen. My flesh is still quaking, and it ain't the Holy Ghost. What do? I start slicing bread, rye bread, hard rye bread. Praying in tongues the whole time, though, bless God. You know how you can recognize, you can feel if somebody's standing behind you? Or real close proximity, you can sense it. I felt that. And I'm going... And I look around. It's her. She followed me back in the kitchen. Here I am with this machete in my hand. I put it down. Here's what happened. When you show love, when you don't feel like it, but you know inside, this is God. When you show love to the unlovely, the lady is standing there. She's in tears. She's got tears coming down her cheeks. She's probably in her 60s at that time. I said, ma'am, can I help you? She's back where no people can come. She says, I wanted you to know I'm sorry. I'm very sorry for the way I acted out there. She says, but my husband of 35 years left me for a younger woman. And informed me just before Christmas he wants out of this marriage. She said, we've got 4 kids. I thought he loved me. And she stood there weeping, a broken person. Can I tell you something? And you know this. Hurt people hurt people. Amen. The meanest curmudgeon you know, probably deep hurt inside over something or other in the past. They just haven't been able to let go of or purge themselves of. Can I tell you today that when you have Jesus Christ in your life, the hard times will still come, but He will rescue you through each and every one of those hard times. And He will help you to see people with His eyes and not merely your own. Open your Bibles, please, to John chapter 3. I need to move quickly. John 3. That was a real lesson to me as a young believer, as a baby Christian. And I think back to that often because I need to act that way more often now. I need to act loving to the unlovely. Don't you? Yeah. How many of you can testify there's a lot of unlovely people out there? Maybe in your own family. You need to love them. Love them. John 3. Jesus proclaimed this about Himself. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not suffer from judgment, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, Christians, but that the world through Him might be saved. How quick are we to judge, to condemn? I bet you that president's a Muslim. I'd put money on it. There's a lot of stuff I don't agree with, and I know you don't. There's a lot of stuff going on. It's really, really wicked. But we can't fight it through griping. We can go to the ballot box, absolutely. Vote everybody out. Vote everybody out if you want. That's fine. But if everybody was Republican, it wouldn't be perfect. It'd be better than it is now. Well, I'm not going to debate politics. I'm just going to say I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. You live here. You call yourselves Americans. I do too. But again, my citizenship is not here. It's there. It's in heaven. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see You. That was my prayer when I got saved. That's my prayer years and years later. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see Jesus. Let's go to point number two really quickly. Number two, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see others through Your eyes. Just like the lady with the missing sausage. I wanted to see her through Jesus' eyes, not my own. And it was a struggle. And it's still a struggle. 25 years later, it's still a struggle to love the unlovely. Open your Bibles again to 1 Corinthians, if you would, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I got to tell you, I'm not and have never been a turn or burn preacher. I'm not. Jesus was not a turn or burn preacher. You know who Jesus' harshest judgments was for and toward? The Pharisees. The ultra-religious crowd of the day. How many of you realize there might be a dozen or so Pharisees in our world today who are called themselves Christians? Oh, you stepping on my toes now, brother. That's all right. God will heal your feet. I promise. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We read this at weddings. We quote it at weddings. It's so beautiful and it makes us cry. But this isn't for weddings only. It's for life. Verse 4. Love suffers a few minutes. Long. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity. I told you that boy would go to prison. proud you prophesied it, aren't you? Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love never fails. You got a wayward husband? Husband who drives you nuts. You got a wife who won't come to church? You got kids out there living for the devil. Love never fails. Nagging fails. Love never fails. See, we need to live out the gospel, not only speak it all the time. I know a lot of people who know this book front to back who are meaner than a snake. Faithful in church. Go to church every week. Ain't never been fishing. You know what I'm saying? For souls. Ain't never been fishing. Is that really a Christian? I guess that's between them and God. This is more of a social club to those type of folks. This is not an evangelistic outreach. This is a social club. This is a fraternity, a sorority, where we all feel comfortable with each other. I've pastored places like this. Lord, we don't want that. Prostitute come in. A person from on the streets come in. Oh, they smell. That smells offensive in church. Let me tell you something real quick. Again, I was new in the things of the Lord, and I was graciously brought on staff at Christian Life Center in 1994 or so to do some intern work as a pastor for the singles. Randy was on staff. Miss Faye, good to see you again. Praise God. You're a blessed man. I won't say anything. I won't say any more. There was one day that I would always love to go to Golden Nugget Pancake House in Dayton. Still love it. Best breakfast in the universe. And I have this affinity, this whatever, addiction to ham and cheese omelets. Oh, man, you can tell. Ham and cheese omelets. Oh, man, the Lord must have invented those. So I go to Golden Nugget one morning before I go into the office at church. And I'm sitting there as I usually did if I'm not meeting somebody, I got a book with me, a Jack Hayford book or something. And I'm sitting there drinking my coffee, reading, and all of a sudden I... Whoa. I'm smelling something really funky here. And we're in a restaurant. We're not in a rest stop restroom here. And it's behind me. I mean really close proximity behind me. I mean sitting back to back with me in a different booth behind me. And I turn around and it's this man who's probably, I don't know, in his 50s or 60s, long, gray, scraggly, greasy hair in clumps. Big old beard, not the guys from ZZ Top. You look beautiful, brother. I'm not picking on you. You remind me of my brother-in-law, really. But I'm telling you, this guy was obviously homeless. And he smelled. And it wasn't like roses. He was wearing kind of a white or cream-colored dirty old jacket. And on the... I know we're in church, but please bear with this, because this is reality here. On the back of his jacket, I could see him sitting behind me, had this big yellow ring. You can imagine. I've only been a Christian for a relatively short time. I'm on staff at a big, big church. And the waitress comes. I said, and she brings my food. So I'm cutting into this thing, and I take a bite, and I'm going, hmm? She comes over. And I said, yeah. She says, something wrong with the omelet. I said, no, it ain't the omelet. It's this guy back. Does he come in here often? She says, would you like to move to another table? I said, no, I'm just going to leave. So I left. I drove to church, and I'm feeling something churning on the inside of me, just scratching me. Something's wrong. Not with him. I drove into church, went into my office, sat down, and Pastor Stan, the lead pastor there, still, came in there and sat down with me and just talking, small talk in the morning. He brought me a coffee and we're talking. He knew something was bothering me. He says, what's going on? What's up? And I explained what happened at Golden Nugget Pancake House. And I'm sitting there trying to justify my feelings. And I said, I mean, the guy, he was bad. He was bad smelling. He was, you know, obviously off the street. And that, you know, that's okay if he wants to eat. But, you know, maybe he could have eaten outside. I said, well, what was I supposed to do? Stan, what was I supposed to do? And Pastor Stan said this. He said, you could have bought him his breakfast. The Lord spoke through his lips at that moment. Could have bought him his breakfast. I wept like a baby. I went outside, walked around the grounds, and I wept. And I repented and repented and repented. Lord, if there's any way, please, it's okay. Send him my way again. I know I may never see him again on the planet, but just... A month later, sitting down, waiting for my ham and cheese omelet again. Guess what? Guess who comes in? But yet he said they have him across the restaurant. And I bought him his meal. I did. I told the waitress, don't tell him who it's from. Just, here, let me take care of it. Well, I'm leaving to pay my bill. I'm all done. There's that presence right behind you. It's him. Standing right there. This guy's head, he has tears welling up in his eyes. He says, I just wanted to come up and thank you for being so kind to me. He says, a lot of people aren't very nice. And he was a Vietnam vet. And I got to tell you, you know in Hebrews where it says, be quick to entertain strangers, for you never know when you're entertaining an angel. I'm not saying, okay, I don't know that angels smell that way or look that way. And I'm not making light, but I'm telling you, I looked into this guy's eyes, moist with tears, and they were deepest, biggest, bluest eyes. I mean, like oceans that I had ever seen. It was almost as if, and we talked a little bit, and I walked out, and I'm thinking, could it be? Lord? I know it was a lesson. It was a lesson learned. You need to see people, we do, all of us, through Jesus' eyes. My mom still does the very same things for homeless people in Dayton, Ohio. When I was visiting a few weeks ago, she and I went out to eat. And we're driving down Wayne Avenue. And there are these guys that you know, most of us would call panhandlers, standing out there on the street or at major intersections, really beat up looking dudes. There are a few that my mom stops every time and hands them like a wad of money. One of them calls her mom. Mom, and he comes and he hugs her through the car window and she gives him money. And she prays with him. The standard response is, well, how do you know they're just not going to go out and buy a bottle of Mad Dog 2020? That ain't my business. I am giving. My mom is giving as unto the Lord. The Bible does not say, don't turn your eyes away from the poor unless they're going to go buy a bottle of Mad Dog 2020. The Bible says, do not turn your eyes away from the poor. Love people. Love them. You can't love by appearances. Amen? Because I know when I go into different churches, people sit there and they size me up. Wonder when he lost his hair. Randy and I met at the same barber, so... No, I mean, we look at each other, and when we first look at one another, we tend to have certain misconceptions about people. I used to minister at Lebanon Correctional Institution early on in my ministry for an entire year. And man, I'll tell you what, you want to see people that look rough. I'd be in there preaching. We'd have a team from Christian Life Center. We'd go in there, I'd be preaching, and there'd be these dudes on the back row sitting like this. In a pew! In a pew! Or with their feet up on the pew and just kind of looking at you. Like, I'm going to cut him. But I'll tell you what, it was those very people who looked so rough and tough and like they didn't care who came up at the end of the service with tears and said, God really touched me. You can't judge by appearance. You got to see people as Jesus sees them. Every one of us has a past. Every one of us has hurts. Victories. Love. Sorrow. I have a son with autism who just turned 18. That's hard. Okay? It's hard. It's been hard. My wife and I have a running joke. We can never die because of Jacob, our son. We can never die. Somebody's got to take care of him. We can never die. But when I get to feeling sorry for myself, I can go to Jacob's school, his high school, and see other little kids there who have like cerebral palsy, who are like this in a wheelchair, and they can't go to the bathroom on their own. They can't eat on their own. They can't talk on their own. And I look at their parents, prematurely gray, stressed, really skinny, gaunt people. And I think, Lord, bless them and forgive me for being such a jerk. We need to see people through Jesus' eyes. Preacher, maybe somebody's thinking this morning, Preacher, you know, Tony, it sounds like you're stressing works here. Works, works. Because, you know, after all, we are saved by grace through faith, not of works. The same Bible that says that also says that faith without works, faith without corresponding action is dead. Dead. Like me fishing at Grand Lake St. Mary's 26 years ago, fish one time, and no time since then, for me to call myself a fisherman, that's disingenuous. It's an outright lie. I'm not a fisherman. I'm a fisher of men. That's what we need to be. We need to be about our Father's business. Without works, faith is dead. Faith also works by love. That's in the Bible. Faith worketh by love. You're not going to argue and harangue somebody and nag them into the kingdom. The power of life and death is in the tongue. And if you're constantly haranguing your kid or grandkid, oh, what's the matter with you? You don't like to go to church. You don't do anything. You know, you don't read the Bible. You're running out late at night. You come home at 3 or 4 in the morning. You're going to end up in the penitentiary. I just know it. I know it. I know you're going to end up in the penitentiary. Some of you may have heard that growing up. And then if it does happen, they're kind of proud they prophesied it. See, I told you. I told you. Some of you have been hurt or damaged as kids by the things an adult has said to you or done to you, violated you in some way. And it's affected you all the way up to today. You may be thinking, how can I reach out to other people when I'm so screwed up? The power of God is in this place today to heal you, to make you whole. I was abused as a child. I was abused in Catholic school in grades 3 and 4. This was at the time my father left us. I was abused by a nun and I was abused by a lay teacher. Physically, verbally, mentally. And It took a toll. I won't get into the gory details, but it was only when I was born again and said, Jesus, I'm yours, whatever you want to do, do it. Some things instantly were lifted from me. Other things, it was a process. It took a while to be healed of those things. But can I tell you something? The area in your life in which you are, in which you hold the most hurt, that area that area of life where you were hurt the most, where the most pain was inflicted on you, is now meant to become your greatest area of ministry to others. What the enemy meant for harm, God meant for good. And now when you look back on those occurrences in your past, you don't look back on them with regret and sorrow and tears and hurt. You look on them redemptively. Look what God brought me through. Look what Jesus did for me. And I can help you who are experiencing the same thing. That can become your greatest area of ministry. And that's what God wants. Be fishers of men. Be fishers of women. Be bold. Be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. Love people. Love people. The last point, number three, and then that's it. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to serve you. Look at Matthew 25, really quickly. Matthew chapter 25, and we will close. Matthew 25. Jesus, straight from his lips. So powerful. Verse 14, chapter 25. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents? Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look at this. I've gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and scattering where you have not gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I could have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he does have will be taken away. and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can I tell you, if you're here this morning and if you in life, with life in general, maybe your circumstances, I don't know, but you're feeling kind of miserable and bummed out and agitated and irritated, and maybe your wife or your husband's saying, yeah, you're awful grumpy, and you feel like everything in the world and everybody's assailing you and coming against you, and you're, and yet you call yourself a Christian, you call yourself a believer. May I suggest to you to read that passage again? Because maybe you're not doing with your talents what God has desired for you to do with the talents that He's given you for this short time on earth. When you are disobedient to God, when you just will not do what God and take care of what God has given you to do, your gifts, your talents, your abilities. You know what? When you're just a consumer in church rather than a contributor, things are going to get... you're going to get agitated. You're going to get uncomfortable easier. You're going to be bothered, and you're going to be nervous, and more anxiety than I don't know what's wrong. I don't know. Check your love walk. Check your love walk. Am I doing what God has called me to do? Am I a contributor instead of a consumer? Not just church, life in general. Tell you what, how many of you have ever been to a big city? And I'm going to close with this. You've been to New York, L.A. I used to live in both cities. Okay. I remember in L.A. and New York and Washington, D.C., any big city. But recently in Washington, my wife and I were there for anniversary, I guess. Guess I should remember things like that. I got up early one morning to go down to Starbucks down the street and get her something to drink and get me a latte. And I'm walking down. This is not long ago, okay? I'm walking down this street on a Saturday morning in Washington. Hardly any cars on the street, but there are these guys that are laying up there against buildings, you know, homeless. Here's what the man of God did on the way to Starbucks. Again, I get into Starbucks, and everybody's ordering their hoochie coochie drinks. I would like a skinny latte with light caramel, not the fat kind, the light caramel, and I would like it decaf with a cherry on top, no foam. Well, maybe non-fat foam on top. We're so concerned about our coffees, and we don't see everything around us, the souls that are lost around us. I just want the right kind of coffee. Man, the Spirit of the Lord just brought conviction. He smote me again. Will I ever learn? Anyway, I got some coffee and stuff and walked back out down the street. I didn't avoid him this time, but there was only one guy left. And I said, sir, would you like something to drink? Give him a coffee. Do you need some money? Can I help you out with it? I don't want to bother you with it. He says, I don't want to. I gave him money, what I had. Not much, but what I had. And I stopped and prayed with him. I said, Jesus loves you. You are valuable in His eyes. You know, there's an old song that says, when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. Well, you know, when Jesus was on the cross, you were on His mind. What's it going to cost you to stop for a couple minutes? Give a couple of bucks. You're giving as unto the Lord. And those who give to the poor, the Bible says, loan unto the Lord, and God will repay them. God will repay you. You'll be blessed. When you go out today for lunch, if you do. Maybe, I hope you don't, I'm not wishing this, but maybe you get a grumpy waitress. Are you going to order now, or should I come back again? Realize she's a human being too. Something terrible may have happened earlier in the morning to her. You just never know what each of us are going through at a given moment in time. I don't know what each of you are going through. You don't know what we're going through or what Randy and April are going through. Let's overlook the faults, okay, sometimes. I mean, if it's not a serious sin, overlook people's faults and love them in spite of them. There's an old joke that you can draw a lot more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. But I'm thinking, well, who wants a bunch of flies? I don't know why I said that. I want to close with this. I heard Rick Warren say this once, and it just blew me away. And it's you can find the precept of it in the Bible, the thought behind it. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Give of your heart. Give your love. Give Jesus to somebody this week. Invite them to church. Hand them the card. Say, you know, we got a pretty cool church. We really do. Here, let me give this to you. Now, if you do this to a waitress, don't do with what a certain preacher did. It wasn't me, but he took something like this from his church. He taped a 50-cent piece on it for a meal for four people or five people and left it on the table. Well, you know what the waitress did. Cheap preacher, cheapskate. Took the 50-cent piece and... Joel Osteen told a story about a really cranky waitress that he and his wife had several months ago in Houston. And he said she was just here we go with perceptions again. She was ugly. Not physically, but just ugly. Personality-wise. And she was mean and short with him and rude. How would any of us react to that? Well, we'll see what kind of tip she's going to get. Right, amen? Let's be real. Instead, Joel said this. He says, I started to talk with her towards the end of our meal, which took forever in coming, by the way. It was busy, and he started talking with her and asked her about herself. See, it doesn't take a lot of effort or time to do that. You have kids? Everything okay? He said she started to cry. She had a story too. Single mom, three kids. She was abused and she was a battered wife. Her ex-husband was threatening her again. Instead of saying, see what kind of tip I'm going to leave her. Remember, hurt people hurt people. Joel Osteen left her a $50 tip. She cried like a baby. What would love do right now? What would Jesus do right now? We can be more generous. We can be more loving. We can give of our hearts, ourselves. We can give the greatest gift of all, what Jesus has done for me. Let me tell you about him. Here's what he did for me. Witnessing is that easy. The Bible, I'm going to close with this, I promise. That's what Paul the Apostle said and wrote 10 more chapters. But it's all about giving. It's all about giving. Give of yourself. Give Jesus. Give your love. You know what? Some people just need a hug. Amen? There's people in this church who are hurting and they just need a hug. Maybe they've never heard the words, I love you. Oh, well, come on. That nobody's like that. No, never been told they've been loved? My wife. Not by me, but by her own parents. Never. Ever. Ever. So when she's told now, she melts. She just melts. It feels good for somebody to say, hey, I love you. I really love you and I appreciate you. Randy needs to hear it. April does. All of you do. You want to be loved. You want to be valued. Jesus valued all of us and still does. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you right now. This is the good news of the gospel. And see, I said, I'm not a turn or burn preacher. When somebody says evangelist, you think, well, bless God, hey. That ain't me. That's not where I came from. I've experienced the lavish, extravagant love of a loving Father. Too often we view God as how we view our own earthly dad. For some of us, that wasn't so good. You know, Jesus is cool, Jesus is all right, but God the Father, oh, He's angry and He's ready to hit you with a bolt of lightning. That's not our Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen? So listen, instead of going out there and... The Bible never says one time for you and I to go a-witnessing. Never! For us to go a-witnessing. Jesus said, you be my witness. You live it. Not just turn or burn. Turn or burn. Live it. Love the unlovely. Build a relationship with people. You just can't shove a tract in people's face nowadays. It don't work. You've got to build a relationship with them. Even if you don't like skinheaded, ball-headed people, you got to build a relationship with me to win me to Christ. You know what I'm saying? They may look different from you. They may have 150 piercings all over, you know, and look like Frankenstein. There's a soul in there that needs Jesus every bit as much as you do. Please stand. If you would, thank you. I'm not going to give a formal altar call right now. But I do feel led of the Lord to do this. If you've never come to Jesus Christ and invited Him into your heart to be Savior, Lord, and friend, and also, if you are of another group that you've been a Christian for a long time, but you're like the guy with the one talent. I'm comfortable. You know, and things are tough out there, but I mean, I'm all right. I'm okay. You know, all that ministry work, that's what we pay Pastor Randy for. Let him go to the hospitals. Let him do my praying for me. I pay him. I can call him at 3 in the morning. He wants to evangelize. Let him go do it. That's what he's called to do. No. We are called. You're a minister. He's a minister. I'm a minister. You're a minister. You are ministers of reconciliation to a lost and dying world. And you are to proclaim, God's not mad at you. God's not mad at you. You know what? For the worst person that you know, that you can think of right now, the most lost, miserable person, you know what? Their sins have been forgiven. Their sins have been paid for on Calvary's cross. Paid for 2,000 years ago. Osama bin Laden's sins were paid for on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. And all people like that, all people who just don't know Jesus and could care less, all they need to do is just say, Lord, I am sorry for the mess that I've made in my life. I'm sorry for keeping you at arm's length. I'm sorry for neglecting and rejecting you. I don't want to do that anymore. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life, the director of all things. Be the CEO of my life. And in that moment, your sins. Though my sins were as scarlet, I am now white as snow. Jesus doesn't hold a grudge. When he was on the cross, you were on his mind. And the world needs to know that. The only sin that can send a soul to hell is the rejection of the payment that was made on Calvary's cross for you. Your sins have been paid for. Your sins, past, present, and sins you ain't even thought about yet, are already paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. One sacrifice for all time. Spread the word. Let me ask you something. Now, I know Pentecostal people don't play lotto. Not a lot of amens on that one. Listen, here's the point I'm making. Let's just say you were to hit the lotto, $30 million. Would you walk around? Oh, wow. No. You would jump up and on your roof and scream, "I won!" You'd lose your mind. You'd yell and scream and call. Well, maybe you wouldn't call your relatives if you won $30 million. This is greater news living in us than hitting the lotto. The lotto only lasts for a few years, even if you do hit it. We're talking eternity. We're talking the difference between a God's heaven and a devil's hell. Please, don't waste another moment of your life on unimportant things, majoring on minors. Did you see how short Sister So-and-so's skirt was on Sunday? No. See people in here for how Jesus sees them. If you are like the guy with one talent, I'm asking you to do something crazy and something bold this morning. And if you're a part of the other group that's never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, I want to ask you to come right now. I want to pray with you. God will heal you, spirit, soul, and body. God will heal you financially. When you purpose in your heart, "Jesus, I've not been as faithful as I can be." This is not legalism here, loved ones. This is just simply because you love God. You just love the Lord and you want to do this for Him. If you'd like to be a fisherman and aren't, and haven't been in 25, 30 years, you come. God's calling fishers of men. Come right now. Please. Jesus. Un eredo da mosso potete che va a sassare la mano ancora la da bacotte.